Thank you, Avril. Thank you for your welcome. It's good to be back with you again now and then. And we're going to be looking at these verses together. So do keep the Bibles open and so you can follow where we're going. Should we just pray? Ask God to help us as we come to his word. Father God, we thank you that we have this word from you. We thank you that you have spoken and not left us in the dark. We pray, Lord, that we may just hear you speaking again by your Holy Spirit to our hearts and lives. May we learn much or enough, at least, to be able to honour and serve and live for you, Lord Jesus, in this week ahead. So help us, we pray, as we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, so we're going to have a look then at this letter, or beginning it today, these first few verses. I wonder whether you've ever had the experience of reading someone else's letters. You might not want to admit that if you had. Depends on the context, doesn't it? I remember when my parents came to the end of their lives, and my mum and dad, they were in a care home, and we were sorting out their stuff. And I came across in my dad's papers after he died. I say papers, it sounds like there was a vast archive. You could probably got it in a shoebox, to be honest. He wasn't a man of great kind of letters and so on. But there was, in this little box, there were some letters, about three or four of them, that were written to him from my mum before they got married. And he kept them. And I thought, oh, I'd like to read those. But actually, I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll wait until my mum has died. And then, because I just felt it was, you know, I was encroaching on their space in that sense. But when she died, I read them. And it was very moving. It was very touching. Because you could see the warmth of relationship. It was only from her to him. It was a few months, I think, maybe 9 months or so before they were married. But it was very moving. And you could see something of, even that was only one-sided, their kind of, their playfulness, actually. The kind of joy of looking forward to the house that they were going to buy and sort out and everything. And this is one of these kind of letters. We've only got one side of it. But it's good, isn't it, to just see what the backstory is. As we read this other person's letter that the Holy Spirit has enabled us to kind of have in the Bible. So what is the backstory then? Should have another thing coming up, but yes, there it is. What's the backstory? Well, who's it from? Well, it's from Paul. He is an apostle. He was one of the later disciples of Jesus. He wasn't one of the 12 that traveled with Jesus and knew him personally, not in that sense. He was somebody who came on the scene a little bit after Jesus died and was raised from the dead and went back to heaven. In the early days of the first Christian communities in Jerusalem, this man, Paul, or Saul as he was then called, showed up. He was a very zealous, young, enthusiastic Pharisee. He was a keen Jewish leader. And he absolutely, there was one thing he dedicated his life to, and that was getting rid of this ridiculous claim that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was the Messiah. And he got permission, and he went around basically arresting Christians with the purpose of putting them in prison and possibly executing them. We first meet him in the book of Acts when he was actually present at the execution of the first Christian martyr. It says in Acts that the people put their coats at the foot of a young man called Saul. And some experts say that's a kind of putting their feet, their cloaks at the feet of someone suggests that he had some kind of official role in the execution of the first Christian, or the first Christian execution. That's how much he hated Jesus and everything about him. But one day his life was completely turned round because he had an encounter with Jesus. You can read about it in Acts chapter 9, and it's a really exciting and a wonderful account. And his life turned around and he became someone who loved Jesus as much as he previously hated him, and was given this job to do, which was to share that message about Jesus to as many people as possible. And he was sent. He was an apostle. That's what an apostle was, someone who's been sent. And he started a number of Christian communities, new churches across the Middle East, and then wrote them letters. And many of the letters he wrote to those communities are in the New Testament. That's who Paul is. That's the one part of the writing. But he's writing to somebody, as Avril said, called Timothy, who, as we read, is described here as his dear son. He was someone that Paul was very close to. Now, I don't know whether you can see that. Maybe you can't. But here is a map. And if you follow the red line up the map and then along a bit, just above the bit where it says Cilicia, you'll see a place called Derbe, if you've got fantastic eyesight. And then just up the red line, there's another place called Lystra. And these two cities were a bit kind of connected. And Timothy was from one of those cities. And in the 40s AD, Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead around 30 AD. So within 10 to 15 years after Paul has become a Christian, and he sets out to tell people about Jesus. And he turns up in Derbe and Lystra with a guy called Barnabas. We read all about this in the book of Acts. And a number of people hear about Jesus for the first time and come to know him. And presumably, that includes Timothy's family. And then roll on a little bit later, Paul goes back to that area on another missionary journey. That's the one that is in red there. And when he comes to Derbe and Lystra again, he meets a young believer called Timothy. And we read about that in Acts 16. And Timothy joins Paul and Silas, another guy, who were on this journey to share Jesus all around the world. And Timothy joins in with Paul, as he may then be called. He changed his name from Saul to Paul, and is part of the whole enterprise. And he was a very valued member of Paul's team. Look what Paul says about him in Philippians 2. Forgive me if that is also a bit small. But one of the places they both went to was a place called Philippi. You can read about that in the book of Acts, in a very exciting story. Lots of people in Philippi became believers. And later, Paul writes a letter to them. That's why it's called the Letter to Philippians, because they were from Philippi. And this is what he says about Timothy. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. Paul is in prison. It's an earlier imprisonment. He went into prison a few times for preaching about Jesus. He says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know, because they'd met Timothy, he'd been there. You know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. So that gives you a little bit of an idea about who this man is and what he was like. He was young when he joined with Paul. It was in maybe when he became a believer in Jesus, when he heard about Jesus of Nazareth and Jesus the Christ. It may have been in about AD 50. When this letter is written to Paul's final imprisonment, he's almost certainly going to be executed after this prison sentence. He says that pretty much in chapter 4. Paul was executed. Anyone know when that was? Don't you know? Someone might. In about the mid-60s AD, about traditions, under Nero's persecution, Paul was executed. AD 64. So if Timothy was in his 20s maybe, or early 20s, or late teens, when he becomes a believer in Jesus, after knowing all that Jewish background from the Old Testament scriptures, then by the time this letter is written, what we're talking about, 15 years later. Timothy that reads this letter is by then probably in his mid-30s. So we've got that's kind of the picture. That's who he is. That's where it all fits in together. And it's a very personal letter, isn't it? One Victorian commentator, a bishop, Hanley Moore, he was Bishop of Durham until he died in 1920. He wrote in his commentary, which actually I have at home, I found it in an old bookshop. I thought, oh, I'll get that, and read it once. He said, it's hard to read this letter with dry eyes because you get the sense of the challenge and the difficulty and the relationship. A bit like my mum and dad, I suppose. I don't know whether I had wet eyes when I read their letter. I'd like to say I did, but I can't remember whether I did or not. But it's that kind of communication. So it's really well worth, if you've got 10 minutes this afternoon, sit down and read it all and just see what you think of it. See what you make of it. It's very personal, especially chapter 4, when, as we saw on this video, Paul pretty much says in chapter 4, I'm in jail, I'm lonely, I'm cold, I need my books. Please, Timothy, come as soon as you can. Just picture that. So, okay, that's a little bit of the background. Why should we bother with it today, then? If this is a letter from Paul to Timothy, are we being a bit rude reading that letter, like me reading my parents' letter, my mum's letter to my dad? Is that appropriate? Well, I think it is, because, you see, as we look into it, this is where our faith comes from, isn't it? From that first generation of disciples who knew Jesus, who knew the teaching of Jesus, who put the New Testament together as the record of that, who had these encounters with Jesus as Paul did. And it's really key. This is where it comes from. And this letter faces up, actually, to the fact that, in one sense, it must have all seemed so fragile. What's going to happen when Paul is executed? What's going to happen in the future? How sure can we be? How is it all going to, is it all over? We thought it might be over when Jesus was crucified. No, we know he's come back to life, but etc. There's pressures and there's challenges. How would it carry on? Well, we know it did carry on, and we're it. We're part of how it carried on, aren't we? So we're kind of connected right back into this world by a long chain. But it's a real chain, I think. And we might be asking the question, some of us, how will it continue into the future beyond us? With AI and Armageddon around the corner and destruction and global warming and etc., etc. And, our kids don't get it and all those kind of things. How will it continue after us? Well, perhaps the answer is in here, in this letter. It's a good reason to look at it and to learn from it. But it's also, I think, important that we do it because what Paul and Timothy share is this life that Jesus gives and the power that it works out in people, like Paul and Timothy. And it's really good for us to know what that life is and how that power is worked out in our lives as well, isn't it? So we've got something to go on, something to feed on, something to fuel our walking with Jesus. So let's have a look then at these first few verses together and see what we can learn. We can see right at the beginning that there are two kind of key truths highlighted here. Two key truths. They are God's big purposes and the promise of life in Christ Jesus. There it is in verse 1 and 2. See that? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Now, bearing in mind what we've just heard on the video and whatever we're sharing and what I just said, does anything about that opening strike you as unusual? That's something to be pondering. I won't wait for answers. It's a letter from Paul to someone he's known really, really well for the best part of 15 years. They've worked together. Why does he say, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God? Surely Timothy knew who he was. Or is this just a formal way of starting a letter? It might be, but why couldn't he have just said, "Hi Timothy, it's Paul here, how are you doing?" Why is that? What's going on here? Because what Paul says is, he says, "I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God." Why did he do that? Well, he's making a point that Jesus called him and gave him this job to do. And that it's part of God's will, God's purpose, part of something much bigger, actually, than Paul himself and Timothy. He's saying, who I am and what we've done, Timothy, together, is part of God's big purposes. It's something that God himself is doing. Why does Timothy need to be told that again, I wonder? Well, we don't really know. But I wonder whether for us, you might not be like me, but sometimes I forget what I'm really part of as a believer and a lover of Jesus. Of course, we know in theory that our lives have been touched by God, that Jesus is alive in us. But can't that get a bit covered up sometimes by challenges and discouragements? We can just forget what we're part of, that it's really something God has done. Maybe that's Timothy's problem, one of them. Look out for that in the letter, see what you think. But Paul also highlights another great truth. He says, in keeping with the promise of life in Christ Jesus. I'm an apostle, he says, because Jesus is alive. And he's given us this amazing good news of a promise of life. He's given me and you, Timothy, by implication, because you're involved in it, a job to do, and it's come from a living Jesus Christ. And that job is to tell everyone that there is life in this King Christ. It just means King, the Messiah, the King, Jesus. And Jesus promised that, didn't he? If you think back to Jesus' teaching, even in John's Gospel, in chapter 1, in him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. John 3:15-16, God loved the world, he gave his son so we could have eternal life. John 10, Jesus said, I've come that you can have life in all its fullness. And it goes all the way through John's Gospel, not just John's Gospel, but Jesus is the one who brings God's life. It says, I think, in 2 Timothy that Jesus brought life and immortality to light. Jesus is the source of our life in God. Something has happened that has changed us, and Timothy is being reminded of that. Maybe he's losing sight of that as well. I wonder, can that be a problem for you, maybe? Sometimes it is for me. We forget that our little lives are connected to this resurrection life of our King Jesus. That Jesus is at the heart of all that God plans and does. And so, therefore, are we. Because we are, as believers, Paul says in many of his letters, in Christ. We are connected to him. We're part of what he's doing. The Holy Spirit brings the life of Jesus into our experiences. We have the promise of life through Jesus Christ. It's big. It's I was going to say it's exciting. You don't look very excited, but anyway, I am quite excited by it. Feel free to be excited. I know, in an inward way, if you want to do it that way. But it's quite amazing, isn't it, when you think about it? It's about every part of our lives, which is exciting and also a little bit scary, because his life is meant to flow through every part of what we do and who we are. And that's a joyful, releasing thing, but sometimes it can be challenging, can't it? If we get that and keep with it, then we will be sustained in trouble and difficulty. And maybe there's a clue, too, to how that continues to the next generation and it's sustained in that way. Because that life, that's why the church has survived and thrived through these generations. Because of the life that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, let's think about how this life gets kind of lived out with Paul and Timothy. He says, God's will and God's life, we experience this personally. If you look at verses 3 to 5 there. Apostleship then. You see, it was more than a career choice for Paul, wasn't it? As we've said, I'm not going to repeat that too much. Paul didn't think, you know what? I'd really like to be an apostle. You know, get on the website, Google apostle. What are the qualifications for apostle? I really fancy that job. No, he didn't do that, did he? He didn't think, well, I used to be a persecutor of the Church of Jesus. I think I might try another way and become an apostle. No, he's an apostle, as he says, because God intervened in his life. God got involved in his life. It was very specific for him. Very specific indeed for Paul, as you will read, Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9, as he's lying in the dust, unable to see, possibly, that's in my imagination, fallen off his donkey because of the light that shone out of the sky and the voice of Jesus who said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Just read Acts 9. It's a brilliant account. It's very specific and very involved. It's personal. Now, we probably won't be called to that kind of ministry, but you never know, we might be. But our lives are in God's hands. He is involved in our lives. He does have purposes and possibilities and ways that he wants to be at work in whatever our situation may be. Because the will of God is something that we live in. That's our place of kind of location. We can expect him to gift us as he gives Timothy, as you will see next time, to call us to be part of everything we do. That is a kind of a new way of seeing life. We experience it personally in that way. But for Timothy, it wasn't just so for Paul. For Timothy, he goes on to talk about Timothy's faith. And he says, look, your faith, Timothy, it's alive and it's just bigger than you. See, Timothy wasn't given the same role as Paul, but Paul reminds Timothy of God's work in his life through his not quite so spectacular, not exactly of shining light from heaven, but simply hearing God's word from his mum and his grandmother and then meeting Paul and then becoming a believer and that steady work in Timothy's life. God had intervened in Timothy's life too. He'd experienced this big purpose and this great life promise from Jesus in his own individual life. That's his testimony. His faith was alive. Paul is reminding Timothy that as he believed, he became something part of something much bigger than he could have known. He came to life. It says that it's a living faith. The promise of life in Christ Jesus came into his experience. And that's true for us. When somebody becomes a Christian, when someone trusts their life to Jesus and gives their life to him, asks him for that forgiveness and new life, he comes into our experience by the Holy Spirit. That life, we are brought from death to life. Jesus said, if you hear my word, believe on him who sent me, you pass from death to life. That had happened to Timothy. And that's true for us. And again, perhaps it was easy for Timothy to forget this. It was tough. I mean, Paul was likely going to be dead soon, quite honestly. There are these impossible challenges from false teachers that the video told us about. It's all so vulnerable. All this that Paul and Timothy had built with God's help around all these different churches around Asia, what is now Turkey and Greece, well, it was all very crumbly. All kinds of people were coming in and trying to stop them from following Jesus in different ways or other agendas. It must have been very difficult to kind of be confident in that place. Maybe he was easily forgetting this life that he'd received. And for us too, the life from Jesus, it's bigger than us. It's to do with God's calling in our lives. But it is who we are. It's part of our DNA as new creations, isn't it? The life that Jesus gives. Experience personally, each one of us, as we turn to him. So that's the first thing. This is experienced personally. But the second thing Paul goes on to talk about in verses 3-5 is that this life is shared with others. We experience this life of God, this involvement in his purposes, together with other people who share the same experience, that shared new life. So there is shared life. And if you read any of the epistles that Paul wrote, and by the way, in most of them, you know, it says, we miss this, don't we? It says at the beginning of the letter to Philippi, for example, and to Corinth, lots of them, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, blah, 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 and Timothy, our brother. Timothy was involved with Paul in writing these letters. Now, I don't know, maybe Paul talked over with Timothy what he was writing about. We can only speculate, but Timothy is there. And if you read any of those epistles, those letters in the Bible, you see how Paul's apostleship, his ministry, the life he knew in God is shared with the communities he's connected with. It wasn't just, oh, this is Paul's idea and we follow Paul's teaching. No, Paul is saying, we're all in this together in a massive way. It's really important. And that's the situation here. There is a shared life, a life from Jesus that they shared together, lived out in communities. So it wasn't just because they were great friends in this letter. That wasn't just the motive or the driver of what God was doing. No, no. They shared it together. Jesus had given them that life to plant and grow and share with others. There's shared prayer. Look at what he says there. Paul is talking about the way he's praying about Timothy. It's really moving. I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. He remembers the life they shared. He remembers, I guess, the people they'd seen transformed. The communities of believers that were formed. He probably reflects back and remembers, you know, that, you know, how the Philippian church got started. Oh, I'm not going to go off because I haven't got time. You know, just think yourself into any of those stories in Acts of what happened in those early churches of suffering, of exciting things, of powerful things. Timothy is there. Paul is there. Paul kind of reminds them, and he must be smiling as he remembers how God works. He says, we shared that and we share prayer. That is part of our shared life. There are sharing in joy and tears. He said, I remember your tears as well as the joy. Joy in what God did, joy in what God can do, as well as a reminder of the cost of it. It can be very tough. It can be very hard to be a believer. And yet they knew the Lord working in that. And then there's this shared life in that you see, the shared love for Jesus and a shared life in the Spirit. Verse 2, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ our Lord, he says to Timothy. Is that just a formal greeting? Maybe. But it was, there's some truth in there, isn't it? Paul says to Timothy, we've shared in God's grace. God's work, God's power, God's life working itself out by the Spirit. We've shared in that together, Timothy. And I want you to go on in that. We've known God's mercy, God's help, God's kindness. We've known the peace that comes from knowing God's life in our lives. The peace Jesus promised that the world couldn't give. And Paul is kind of saying, you know that, Timothy? Remember all that? We shared that. These big purposes and the promise of life is shared with others together. they'd been there at the beginning of so many of these communities, the communities that they were connected with and Paul is so concerned about. The one that Timothy is working in Ephesus when he gets this letter, in all probability. They're concerned about that. They share that life and that love together. They'd been at the beginning of so many of them. Paul had written to so many, and as I say, Timothy's name is up there at the beginning of those letters. So this life Jesus promises is shared with each other. And that is why church matters, okay? That's why it's so important. It might not be this church but what I'm saying is that being with other believers, sharing life with other believers, is really, really important. It's part of who we are. It's very hard to be solo and share the Christian life. So why does it matter for us now? Well, do we get that this life is to be shared? Really? It's very hard for us individualistic Westerners. Really hard to get that. So I won't go off now because I'm just about on time, so I'm going to stop now. But I could tell you some stories, maybe another time or individually. We've just had such a blast and a blessing working with a whole load of Iranian brothers and sisters, people from Persia who've come to know Jesus and who are living out the Christian life together. We have learned so much about ourselves as Westerners and about what it means to be in shared experience of Christ. Even at the level, what it says in the New Testament about whole families becoming believers and wanting to be baptized, for example, I now understand it because I've seen that desire in that culture. It's been a blast and a blessing, but we need to get it, don't we? We need to live this shared life. So, you know, I can say this because I'm not here that much. How's your house group? How's your shared life going in the house group? How's your together life in prayer? How's your interactions over coffee? And don't get all embarrassed now because I said that, so no one will dare speak to anyone over coffee in a minute. But, you know, how's all that going? Does it feel like shared life? Is it really, you know, putting into practice what we have, this life of Jesus together, this together involvement in his purposes? Well, you can think about that. Do we really get the truth of who we are as believers? That the living God has called us into this new way of life. We are kind of in the line of the New Testament. It carries on with us. Are there 28 chapters in Acts? Jez, you should know that. Anyway, however many chapters there are in Acts, when we were at theological college part-time in our evenings, let me just say, one of the teachers said that, you know, the great thing is that we, the church today, it's like we're in Acts 29, okay? The story continues with us. I think there's only, if there are 29, but it should be Acts 30, but I think it's 29. See the point, though? We continue in that today. It carries on with us in our lives. That's why we need to get with the plan to live by the will of God and enjoy the promise of life in Jesus together. And that's about it, really. I could ask the question, well, have you responded to that offer of life in Jesus? If you haven't, you can. You can find more about it if you want to consider it a bit more carefully. Go to Alpha. Is Alpha up and started yet? Got any spaces left? You could go to Alpha, find out more about it there. Or you could just ask Jesus yourself to show you and lead you and begin that journey with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing truth that, Lord, we as your people, as believers in Jesus, we can be kind of in on, not just in on it, but part of your great plan and purpose. And that we can share this life that you've promised in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for, as we reflect and as we'll remember in a minute, for all that you've done to make that possible. Lord, help us to live this way as we go into this week, that we may live to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.